This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
New Year's
Eve. Yeah, last day of the year, man. Yeah.
I've got to be honest with you, I've loved 2019.
It's been a pretty good year.
A lot of folks that sit there and go, man, this year, I thank God it's over. Bring it on, drop the ball, let's go. I'm going to miss 2019.
Bring it on, drop the ball.
You know what I'm talking about? Drop the ball, man. Let's get on to 2020. I am going to totally miss 2019. This has been a spectacular year from a personal standpoint.
You've done well.
We've done well.
Well, we have done well. Yeah, we've done well.
We've continued to stay married.
Amazingly.
I think they still love us.
Occasionally.
And I'm not talking about the dogs.
I'd say most days. Most days, I think they're still glad they married us, yes.
All right. Welcome to the show. Packer Durham, Mark Packer, West Durham.
Happy Chester New Year. Florida. Merry
That's
New
it.
Year.
That's it.
As Eddie Murphy said in Trading Places.
You got it. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number.
Where do you want to start?
Here's the first thing I want to say before we get started today's show. And we always have a good time talking sports. Oh, man. But something happened yesterday that puts things completely, totally in perspective. And if you get too high off a win or too low with a loss, or you think your coach should be fired, or, hey, let's go get this guy as a coordinator, or why can't so-and-so make a jump shot, whatever it is in sports, it is all about entertainment, right? It really is. It's all about entertainment. But yesterday, Wes, a young kid by the name of Bryce Gowdy,
right,
17 years of age, a commitment to Georgia Tech's football program.
Scheduled to enroll next week.
Right. Was hit by a train and passed away. And our thoughts and our prayers go out to the Gowdy family, Georgia Tech family.
Yep.
You just hate to see anything like this happen. It just puts it totally in perspective when we're sitting here talking about, good times with football or basketball or whatever the case may be. And, you know, it just stuff like this, you just shake your head and you wonder, why?
Yeah, they're still investigating the accident in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Bryce Gowdy was a highly thought-of recruit in Jeff Collins' most recent signing class, was going to early enroll and be there in January, projected to be one of the guys impacting their class. The investigation continues, but as you said a moment ago, it's just tragic when somebody's life is cut this short. And our thoughts and prayers with the Gowdy family, as well with Coach Collins and Georgia Tech and all the people that got to know this young man who, by all indications, was going to be a great leader and, you know, the kind of impact guy that Collins wants to get this program kind of back going north again. But it does put it in perspective. And you just hate to see tragedies like this. And that's what it is. It's a tragedy. And you feel for his family for sure and all the people that knew him in Deerfield Beach, and just seeing a guy cut down this early in life it's just an awful thought.
Yeah, again, thoughts and prayers. Yep. And you know, just hug your loved ones, man. You know, enjoy every day that you got.
That's it.
There's no promises.
That's it.
844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the show. And again, we've got a number of guests, Ian Fitzsimmons, Seth Greenberg later on in the show. We've got some
Greenberg
football,
with
some
his
basketball.
Hands. Greenberg will be here with his hands. He'll be throwing his hands at you like Nick Saban. We're going to do something else today, too, that I'm – you know how I'm not a fan of accounting for basketball.
Yeah, but nothing – to be honest with you, our accounting this past week –
I'm not talking about now. I'm just talking about that process.
In the big picture.
Yeah.
I think it's going to get better, though, once we get to January.
Well, yeah, and conference play, by the way, resumes today with three games.
You got one, too, don't you?
I do.
You're going to go from the basement to Cameron Indoor.
I am. I'm going to make a little ride up 85 today.
You gonna be a stopping over there in Lexington?
Don't think so.
What?
No.
Excuse me?
Don't have time.
What are you talking about? The show ends at 10. Tip off's at 6.
I have things to do.
You got nothing to do.
I got
games
plenty.
At 6.
I got things to
do. You TV broadcast types. What time do you need to get there? 4 o'clock?
I'll probably be there about 3:30 at least.
Okay. And it's how far to Lexington Barbecue from
I've got to make a stop at Miss Jean's.
Fine. No problem. Bring her some. She'll appreciate it. She'll give you a big hug. She may even love you more. You walk in there for some Lexington barbecue.
I have Duke and Boston College. Jordan Cornette and I will be there at 6 o'clock tonight.
So, I mean, okay,
I'm not going to go get barbecue.
You know, hold on a second. I think our listeners and viewers would like to know the life of a broadcaster on game day.
Okay.
Because a lot of folks think, man, I wonder what they do all day. All right, so we're done here at 10.
Right.
You're going to go see your mom, which is a nice touch
of glass. I'm going to go back and pack.
Well, that's the first mistake. You should already have that done, but that's okay. So that takes 3 minutes. I mean, what do you got to pack for? You're going to a game tonight at 6.
Right.
I mean, what do you got to pack? A toothbrush? I mean, seriously, what are we doing here?
It's not going to take long, but I got to go get my clothes together and get on the road. My wife is in town. She's going to see my mom.
How about a text right now and say, hey, Miss Vicky, khakis, blue blazer, button down, and I'll go a red tie tonight or a green tie or whatever you do with this. That can't be a lot of time.
I know you don't put a lot of thought into clothes.
I put zero of amount of thought into
clothes. We've noticed.
And I don't care.
I know you don't.
I have absolutely – I don't eat. My wife will look at me sometimes and go, are you going out that way?
That's, I'm like, well, yeah, I get that comment actually, as well.
I am. And she goes, well, aren't you afraid that somebody's going to see you? I said, I don't care if people see me.
Right.
I got stuff to do. So, right, so you're out of here at 11 o'clock.
Out of here basically at 11.
All right. Miss Jean at 3. So you got a four-hour window. And it's how long is that trip? 2 hours?
Two.
Stop at Lexington, it's 2.5. Now you still got an hour and a half to kill.
But
what?
I may not want barbecue today.
And you work with me? Wait a minute. This is show 89. That statement right there may just be the end of this relationship.
I think I've had enough food over the holidays that I don't need to go throw a chopped plate on the side.
This might be the last show. I asked you to be my partner, and you give me this on show 89 after we've been doing this program for 4 years. I don't think I'm going to go for barbecue today.
I'd like to continue to fit in some of my clothes. How's that?
I'm bringing a new prop to the stage right here. Let's see this right here. What's that say?
Pac-Man SOB.
You know what the SOB stands
Secretary
for?
Secretary of Barbecue.
Secretary.
As proclaimed by the governor.
That's exactly right.
Mike Easley.
100 years ago.
Yeah.
And you come walking in there. I don't know if I'm in for barbecue. Excuse me. What is wrong with you? So I've got you dead to rights here. Because you got nothing to do.
No, I do have things to do. Well, because typically when you do a game like this, you're there for the shoots and the shoot-arounds this morning,
but
the practices
the
and all that.
Players are. You don't – you got to see Trey Jones make a jump shot?
It's part of the process, Pac. It's part of the preparation.
Trey, give me a break. This is why I'd be a terrible play-by-play guy. And I've told you this before. I would be the worst play-by-play guy in the history of television.
Will you let us do the ACC Golf Championship before you tell everybody you'd be bad at it?
I'm just being honest. This is all about transparency. I would be awful at it. You know why?
Why?
Because you give me a game that's 53-21.
Exactly.
You know what I'm telling you? Hey, this team of 21, they stink. That's what I'd be telling you. Why am I wasting my time with this? Can I leave early, get to Lexington, get me some barbecue on the way home? That's what I'd be telling you. That's why ESPN limits me to the basement.
Well, they do let you go on the road occasionally. No, you do get a field trip.
Every now and then they give me one.
Yeah.
All right, so you're...
I was going to say something about the show today, and...
And?
Well, we're going to
You
do
better
this...
say it, because it's the last time we're going to do a show together.
Is that right?
At this, you better make up
2019.
This is it. You'll never see 2020 in this basement, Durham. I don't think I'm going to go.
It's been a great run.
Today.
Thanks, everybody,
Excuse
for listening.
Excuse me.
Thanks, everybody, for watching.
Please.
It's been a great run.
Where's
Anish Shroff here on Thursday?
Where's Anish when I need him? Where's Matt Schick? I'll even take the dogs out so he doesn't sweat profusely for 3 hours being allergic to hounds.
Does he sweat?
He did the first time, and I didn't know he's allergic to dogs.
Terrible. All right, so part of the show today will be we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive on this decade stuff.
You get it all over you, because this is the last show of the decade for you.
We're scheduled to do that. Yeah, well, it's the last show for you for the decade.
No, I'll be back tomorrow. No, actually, I won't.
No, tomorrow Thursday. We won't be back. Thursday, we're back.
I'll be back Thursday.
Packer and
somebody. Packer and a friend of barbecue will be here on Thursday.
Packer also, tomorrow the new decade starts.
I'm in. More barbecue.
Yeah.
That's my resolution.
Well, I'm going to have barbecue. I'm going to have barbecue too, but I'm not going to have barbecue today.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, great. So anyway, we're going to do some of the best of the decade things too on the show today, which is a difficult proposition across the board. That's all I'm saying.
So at the shoot around, what do you do? Duke's out there shooting around. Boston College is over there shooting around. What's the conversation?
Well, the conversation, first of all, is typically with the coach, maybe the assistant coach who has the scouting report.
You tell me Coach K's talking to you?
Uh-huh.
And what's he telling you?
A little bit about his team, what he's seen so far, what he likes about his team, what his concerns are.
This is on the floor or behind the scenes?
It depends on how it sets up. Sometimes you do it the shoot around, sometimes you do it before the game. Coach K's been both ways in the past.
So right now you don't know if you're going to talk to K.
I think we will tonight before the game, yes.
Can I go to the Lumberjacks a second?
Oh, no.
Here we go. Here's my boys. Look at this.
Are you guys excited about the New Year's Eve show already? Huh? Look, yeah. Josh Macri on the left, Drew Brooks on the right. By the way, when can we graphic you guys?
Now, hold on. Don't try to take this. I want to ask the Lumberjacks a simple question.
Oh, gosh.
Yes or no? West Durham will talk to Coach K at the shoot-around prior to tonight's Boston College-Duke game. Josh,
so,
you lead.
Oh, yes.
No. Oh, that's a yes.
I say yes, yeah. Okay. I absolutely think that Wes will talk to Coach K. The real question is, will Coach K talk back?
You almost spit that across the table, didn't you? You almost spit it across the table, didn't you?
That was good.
Yeah.
What about the undefeated in ACC play Boston College Eagles?
I'm going to talk to Jim Christian and Scott Spinelli tonight before the game.
I believe that.
Yeah, Jim and Scott. Spin's one of the really cool assistants in the league. Used to work at Maryland and now has been at BC for several years. Done a great job. By the way, do you know that Walt the Wizard Williams' son is a freshman at BC?
I didn't know that.
Kamari? Yeah. ACC legacy
That right there that you gave us – that is a play-by-play tidbit guy. That's a guy doing his homework before the game.
Sure.
Yep.
So anyway. Thanks. I'm glad you guys trust me, by the way, in the bullpen.
I think K comes walking out 3 minutes before the game. That's the first time you see him.
I think we'll get a visit. Do I need to provide photographic evidence of this?
Let's get a selfie.
Is that what you want me?
Yeah.
Coach K.
I want a selfie with you. And K, because you are the king of selfies.
I'm not the king of
selfies. You are.
No, I'm not. You want me to go
with
in there and pull
a newspaper as well?
Yeah. Do you want me to go in there and pull a Vital and get my picture made with him before the game?
Well, you know, you want to justify your position. That might be a good idea.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Okay.
That guy doesn't want to eat barbecue. It's
my only Duke game of the year. Might be my last Duke game ever.
No, this is not your last. Well, it is your last game of the year, 2019.
Yeah. It's also my only Duke game at this point. But there you go.
Oh, we don't have Duke in the future?
I don't, no.
Huh.
Not on my schedule. At least what I know so far.
And you think Kay's going with that?
With what?
Talking to you.
He's always been great to me.
I know he has. Because
we did the show from the office. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Did the show from the office and brought breakfast and biscuits.
We brought food, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then he threw us out at the end of the show.
Yeah, he did throw us out.
Told us to clean it up and get out of his office.
But then he told us how much he enjoyed having us there.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I don't know. Good luck with that tonight.
Nice start to the New Year's Eve show, wouldn't y'all say?
All right. So much for that.
Really?
You ready to start the show?
We're gonna talk football when we come back, by the way.
Yes, we had some good and some bad yesterday.
Yeah, we did. And we almost had some unbelievable.
I tell you what else we had last night. We had a Frisbee catching dog last night.
Now I'm going to tell you this.
And when I saw it in the Virginia-Florida game, the first thing I thought of was, this is why we discussed this yesterday.
That's exactly right.
That there could be Frisbee catching dog nominees moving forward, and yet we're going to unveil Florida. And there was one last night that was worthy of a conversation.
Drew Brooks, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, we agreed that there would be nice catches after this list. This list is the regular season list.
Oh.
If you guys want to do the best of the bowls, we can do the best of the bowls.
Okay, that's a good way out because
it's
we're going
nice
to have to
way
do
out.
Because we haven't even seen what James Blackman's going to do today, right? I mean, I'm sure he's going to throw a couple of these nice balls today.
Well, I hope Florida State.
To Tamari and Terry.
I hope Florida State runs Arizona State right out of that Tony the Tiger Bowl. I hope they beat
Me
them
too.
Senseless.
Yeah, me too.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Stand up. Show everybody your true. There we go. Fork it up today.
That dude works That's for it. ACC Network, yep. and he Spark comes rolling in with his Arizona State gear.
Spark
today.
It up. Let's go.
What in it's the cold world outside. Are we doing?
Brandon Ayuk taking the game off. Got to get ready for the draft.
Hey, you know
Benjamin
what?
Getting ready for the draft.
I saw that sweatshirt at the Sky Harbor Airport going for about 6 cents the other day. How many of those did you buy?
Well, what? Three of them because I got a discount.
Did you get that along with your Tyson Chandler Suns jersey?
That was rude. That was a low blow.
Fuller was excited. All right, we'll take a break. Come back.
We'll start the show when we come back.
Yeah. After I apparently caused great problems with Fuller because I'm not going to stop at Lexington Barbecue on the way to Cameron. Big news, by the way, on who's coming back as well in ACC football. And we look back at one up and one down yesterday in the bowl routes and what's to come today. Packer and Durham on New Year's Eve. Can you believe it, kids? Right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM Channel 371. Ian Fitzsimmons, Seth Greenberg in hour number two.
Fitzsimmons was working last night with Sean Kelly and Barrett Jones.
That was a good game last night. That game was better than I thought it was going to be last night.
Well, and it's funny because it was like Virginia did Virginia things last night that we've seen, and people are like, oh, wow, Virginia, they're like good.
Well, Bryce Perkins is a player. And Bryce Perkins is a dude now.
Sensational.
And he goes for 323 yards passing, four scores. He's been doing this to everybody all year.
Yeah, and the thing about it was, is that last night, even though they've been banged up, the defense, I thought, held up pretty well in the ballgame. Now, they gave up some busted plays. But this guy right here, let me tell you what, you talk about cementing your legacy, he did last night. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, he's just a big-time player. I didn't think this was a good matchup for Virginia, especially when Florida announced that their defensive ends were going to play in the game, and you're thinking, oh, boy, now where does Bryce run? But Virginia hung around, man. This thing got down to basically an onside kick at the very end. And like I said, this is why you just – more you read, the more you study, the dumber you get when you watch games. But Virginia did a nice job hanging around, and – I thought Bronco Mendenhall really kind of put it in perspective, too, at the end.
Yeah, he sure did. In fact, we can go to the Bronco quote from last night at the press conference. He kind of qualifies everything about what Virginia has accomplished in his administration last night.
I'm really proud of my team, the culture that we've established, the competitive spirit, the intensity and the camaraderie that's displayed from beginning to end. We're on a mission to just simply establish that you can have world-class academics and be at the top tier of college football as well. That's what's happening at the University of Virginia. We were a few plays short today in our execution to win the game. But it was not because of a lack of belief or confidence or ability.
If Virginia is going to look back with regret on anything in the game, you had four or five plays vertically in the throw game that were there, and you just didn't hit them. You hit them, there's no telling. There's no telling. And not getting Florida stopped on an initial hit on third and short and fourth and short.
That was where I was going to go. Tackling, again, you had so many guys out, that's not an excuse. But if you're going to win the game, you've got to tackle well. I don't care who you are, game you're playing in.
Right.
If you don't tackle well, I don't like your chances. But at the end of the day, despite the loss, most wins since 2007, and they are building a culture, as you heard Bronco talk about. And I think if you're a Virginia football fan, hey, you win the Coastal, you get to a major bowl game, things are bright. The future is bright in Charlotte.
I would totally agree. I would be excited if I were a Virginia fan this morning, an ACC fan, I think you can put Virginia on the list. I think Virginia's on the list. Now, we understand they're going to go through some transformations here defensively, certainly the quarterback spot, perimeter players, Dubois, things like that. And Steve Levy and Brian Greasy and Todd McShay were outlining some of that last night. But I would also add, Virginia's done enough core work on both sides of the ball that I think they've got potential staying power next year. I think they're on that list with Carolina. I think they're on that list in the Coastal where you can say, you know what? Yeah, they won enough there. Okay, let's put them there.
The key will now be to validate and continue to build, right? You don't want to have one of those that, hey, we've kind of turned a corner. We're not there yet, but, man, I like where we're going. You can't have the hiccup year where all of a sudden you go 5-7. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It needs to continue to build. But I like what Bronco's building. And,
right.
And he's doing it his way, too, which is absolutely obvious for the way they're handling it from building inside out and so forth. But Bryce Perkins was a special player. It was a joy watching him play.
Or wasn't it?
But, again, terrific year for Virginia. And they covered a lot of hurdles this year, Wes. There's that winning at Pitt, finally getting rid of the Virginia Tech streak, winning the Coastal, getting to a major bowl. But right. A lot of check marks off the 2019 Virginia football season.
Yeah. If you're looking at Virginia, just to give you a breakdown here real quick, in the offensive line, everybody would come back, okay? Everybody in the offensive line would return. In terms of the defensive line, here's where it gets a little tricky. Bernie, Handback, Jordan Mack, all would be gone. You know, Bryce Hall obviously is out. Question would be Charles Snowden. Is he a guy that may leave early? I'm not sure about that. Zandir may fall into that category. But here's where you got good this year. You had guys like Noah Taylor, Nick Grant, Devontae Cross, Joey Blunt, all these guys in the back end pack that made plays defensively for you. Trial by fire, if you will. That's why I think you've got to look ahead at Virginia and say, okay, yeah, I get it. I mean, Virginia may have the talent and perhaps the schedule to be an impact team again.
Well, from a schedule standpoint, they add Clemson next year to the schedule.
They do.
That's part of the rotation for them next year. I believe that game's in Death Valley.
Brennan Armstrong, by the way, becomes also the – I would say he would be the favorite. He's the backup to Bryce Perkins at the quarterback spot. P.K. Kyer comes back. Talapapa would be back. They do lose Chris Sharp in terms of the run game. So, and Tanner Cowley is a senior too, and, boy, he was big.
So, you know, from again, big picture for 2019 for Virginia, I think it's a thumbs-up season.
Yep.
You feel good about what's happening, and same thing holds true for Louisville because yesterday the Cardinals spotted Mississippi State a 2-touchdown lead and went on. That's cool. Watch this. Catch you later. And I tell you what, Mr. Cunningham was really, really good yesterday, right? He goes for, what, 279 throwing it, ran for 81. And again, once they got into rhythm – into the game, they basically blew Mississippi State's doors off.
Yep. And the other part about this, too, defense made plays. Did they give up some big plays? Sure. But did they force turnovers? Did they do some things that Louisville just needed them to do in order to kind of hold the rope? Absolutely. And I thought the Kane pass, strip, fumble recovery for the touchdown was a huge back-breaking play for Mississippi State. Do you want to get excited about somebody? Get excited about the Cards now.
Well, they've got offensive weapons, too. Tutu Atwell goes off, 9 receptions for .147 yesterday. Hawkins has been terrific running the football.
Yep.
Multiple quarterbacks, but Cunningham really looked good. And you mentioned the defensive part. And Scott Satterfield, home run hire, obviously. He's now 5-0 in bowl games. There's a lot of pieces coming back for a Louisville team that when you start talking about going from 2-10 to where they are today with 8 wins, plus 6 on the year.
Right.
Tremendous, tremendous effort. Great year. And if you're Louisville, and you know, we talk about some teams with no momentum heading into 2020, here's Virginia, I think feeling pretty good about life. Louisville, without question, feeling good.
How would you feel if you knew you had 8 guys coming back on the offensive side?
Who can score?
And by the way, you will have 8 coming back. Or I'm sorry, 7 on the offensive side, 8 on the defensive side. 15 starters back off a team that got that good in 1 year?
Yep. And you're going to have a recruiting class. I mean, basically, they lost a recruiting class the year before. So,
yeah.
Just an incredible job by Coach Satterfield. And I will tell you real quickly, I saw the celebration afterwards in the locker room, and I saw it via Vince Tyree's Twitter account.
Was there a Gatorade cup involved?
I wrote him last night and said, hey, I got my bourbon cup, man. Where's the invite? He responded.
Is this a Twitter thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's all part of the Louisville thing we got going on. Packer and Durham Derby Show. I'm telling you, they're in. They're in, West Durham. It's a shame you won't be able to join us.
Oh, I'll be there.
No.
Friday's show, I'm there.
No, your barbecue attitude is not going to cut it in Kentucky.
My barbecue attitude today may not be very good, Pack. My bourbon attitude is always on
point.
Maybe,
maybe we'll invite you then.
Yeah, okay. All right, when we come back, the good news in the ACC off the field yesterday, especially in football.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams got some really good news yesterday.
Florida State.
And I'll tell you this, Mike Norvell, I don't know what kind of recruiter you are for high school prospects, but I know what kind of recruiter you are for guys that you're going to coach. And Paris Ford is back. Pack's favorite player in the league.
One of my guys.
All right. Packer and Durham, bottom of hour one on ACC Network.
Secondary, we play with a lot of juice, a lot of energy, which you guys saw flashes of, but you guys didn't see nothing yet. Trust me.
I don't tell the world, you know what I'm saying? You heard it before, baby. You know what I'm saying? You're a fan, bro. Yeah, but all these, I'm just...
Tell the truth, he's still coming. So, wait, check it. Yeah.
Picked off by Pitt, Ford, into the end zone. Touchdown.
I'm a Pittsburgh kid, playing from my hometown.
Big news, Pack, yesterday for news. Pittsburgh, huh?
Yep, and not only Pitt, there were others, but that's, I'm glad to see Ford's coming back.
That's a huge piece for Pat Narduzzi now. Not only a guy who's a leader clearly on that football team, but also a guy who's a playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. And you start kind of looking at where Pittsburgh is, having Paris Ford back. Jalen Twyman's going to come back. Patrick Jones is going to come back. You know, Paris Ford's a huge piece now. They lose several guys. Brightwell's gone. Damar Hamlin graduates. I mean, they get some material back now defensively to go with kind of the improvements they made on offense.
Well, the offense improvement is where it's going to determine, I think, if Pitt can get to the next level. Defensively, I don't have any worries with what Pat's guys coming right back next year. But offensively, you got to be able to run the ball a little bit better than they did this year. But, again, this is a team that won, what, 8 games at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. And they will be a factor in the Coastal 2 next year.
You think Mike Norvell can recruit?
He got a great – yesterday was Christmas Day if you're a Florida State fan, because you have two big-time playmakers on both sides of the ball that you figured, you know what, probably not going to see those guys in 2020, but now you are. Great news for Florida State.
How in the world – if you don't think Mike Norvell can recruit, he got a potential first-round pick to come back to school. Marvin Wilson is coming back to Florida State. This is an – I mean – you just don't hear this anymore.
Well, here's the other thing too, Wes. Not only is he a big-time player, but he is a leader.
Right.
It's a clubhouse thing to me as much as anything else here. I mean, this guy is going to make a ton of cash on the next level eventually, but for Mike Norvell to have a guy like this from a leadership standpoint when you're starting to change the culture of your program,
right,
to have that guy come back, that to me is the big win-win here for everybody associated.
And then Tamarian Terry, Scary Terry, returns, the Noles' leading receiver. So he'll be back in action as well in Tallahassee next fall. Those are two great gets for Mike Norvell to go along with what he's building in the Florida State football program. And, of course, the Noles play today against the Sun Devils of Arizona State in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl pack.
You know, I don't have an afternoon radio show today or tomorrow.
Go settle in for a little Tony the Tiger.
I think I'm going to put my feet up and watch some ball games. We got the Belk Bowl right here in our backyard. Literally in my backyard.
No, not literally.
I mean, what, 4 miles away?
Feet on the floor, feet on the field. You're going to get a little sideline pass up there in Uptown Charlotte?
No. But, you know, Mrs. P is a Hokie, but she's under the weather. Otherwise, we would venture down to Uptown Charlotte.
Sweet.
Not really.
No.
I'm not, you know me. I'm not really a sweet guy. S-U-I-T-E.
Yeah.
I'm more of hanging with the people kind of folks. You can put me in the upper deck.
Be a good crowd there today, I think.
I hope so.
Cats are excited. Hokies are definitely excited.
It's a shame we didn't get yesterday's weather because it felt like springtime here.
God, low yesterday 70s. Would have been unbelievable. A little chilly today.
Yeah. That'd be a good matchup, though.
But you got the
Kentucky.
Marvin Wilson, Tamarian Terry, and Paris Ford of Pittsburgh all coming back to play football next year in the ACC. Huge wins. We're going to get to some basketball here in a minute. There are three games today, all conference games.
And you're doing the primetime game tonight, 6 o'clock, right after you get done talking to Coach K about 3:30 this afternoon on the floor. Undefeated Boston College.
Yeah.
Zero in the loss column in conference play. Rolls into Cameron Indoor.
Yep.
You've got the call.
Jordan Cornette and I will be there, yes.
I'll be watching that tonight, too.
Excited.
I got a full day of television, man. I got Tony the Tiger Bowl rolled right into West Durham from Cameron Indoor.
Is that what you're excited about?
Are you on the floor or are you up top?
Up top. Upstairs.
You like it up there, though?
At Cameron, it's appropriate, yes. I'm fine with that. It'd be a mess if we were on the floor.
Now, I told you my theory.
What's that?
About doing a play-by-play from the floor.
What's Cameron. That?
Amongst them. Yeah, but you get up there in that catbird seat, man, nobody can bother you. You get down there on the floor, man, you get some dude with paint on the back of your head.
Yeah, you do.
Right?
Yeah. You've seen some of the computers the media has come out of there with in years past?
I can't tell you the last time I saw a game at Cameron Indoor in person. I mean, it's been a long – I'm telling you, I bet it's been –
Why am I taking heat for not stopping at the barbecue spot when it's been decades since you've been to Cameron?
I don't think I have been – I don't believe I've been to Cameron Indoor for a game this century. How about that? Think about that a second.
What?
I don't believe I have been at Cameron Indoor Stadium for a game this century.
How is that possible?
Because I'm working all the time.
Oh, we can fix that.
Well, I mean, you got room in the car today?
No. You're not going to go anyway because I'm not stopping.
I'm not stopping. You and Vicky, your better half, know that if you said, Pat, come up, and you got Mrs. P's on medication, she's knocked out, she would not even know you're gone, get in the back of the car with us, let's go to Cameron. I'd go with you. I'm not inviting myself, but I'd go with you. But I'm telling you right now, we would stop at Lexington twice.
On the way up, well, yeah, and definitely on the way down.
That's right, Fuller. Tell him, Fuller.
Fuller's fired up.
Fuller wants some hush puppies to go.
Yes,
that's what that was right there.
Can we do the night in hoops here real quick?
I'm ready to go. I'm waiting on you.
Two games last night in the ACC. Pittsburgh beat Canisius 87-79.
As they should. That's the same record as they did a year ago.
Panthers shot 50% from the floor, had five guys in double figures. They forced 21 turnovers, by the way.
Better than they were a year ago, yep. Wes. Record's the same, but this team is better than they were a year ago.
I agree. North Carolina beat Yale.
Thank God.
70-67. Roy Williams, 879th career win. Ties Dean Smith. Brandon Robinson, 20 last night for the Tar Heels. Four double-figure scores. Carolina only shot 36.6%, though, from the floor. Just 6 of 19 from 3. Garrison Brooks, a double-double for the Tar Heels, who were plus 2 in the turnovers and plus 14 on the glass last night.
Mark. And we don't have an update on Anthony Harris, who apparently got injured last night. And I don't know what his status is. We have to wait and see on that front. But the good news is North Carolina found a way to win this game because – You know, you're up 12 with about 6 minutes to go, and that thing got a little squirrely late, Wes. It got goofy down the stretch.
By the way, the team has a Instagram video out from a couple days ago that has Cole Anthony on the practice floor. Now, whether he's on the practice floor practicing or just on the practice floor kind of shooting around type stuff, we don't know that. I'm not sure anything was said officially last night about that. So we'll keep an eye on that for you in the next week. Carolina will dive into conference play with everybody else coming up here.
What's your take on 879? When I say give you those numbers, I mean, obviously you think Dean Smith, now Roy ties the record.
Yeah.
And there was a ceremony afterwards. You could tell he was emotional.
Yep.
As he should be. No surprise there. But when 879, first thing pops in your head is what?
Well, the fact that Coach Smith at 879 – You know, Coach Smith became the all-time leader in wins at 877, as you remember.
Right.
And did it in Winston-Salem against Colorado.
Right.
The fact that he stopped on his own terms was always interesting to me. Roy Williams.
I respected him for that, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I just thought it was.
No question. I think Coach Williams, I think it's impactful to him. I think it's emotional for him. as he last night in the post game, you know, he shook hands, wanted to get out of here. Coach, they're going to do something on the floor. No, no, see? He's not happy about it. I didn't want to do anything, dadgummit. And then they did something, and see, you can tell. This means something to this guy because you have to know how this whole thing started. And the way it started was that he was a JV basketball player at Carolina and then went back to his hometown, and he came to work for Dean Smith as a volunteer assistant coach and sold team calendars around town. And the other story about Roy Williams that, you know, is always kind of with me is that he used to curry the television show across the state of North Carolina, my dad and Coach Smith, and he would do the football show too. It wasn't just Coach Smith and the basketball show. Mm-hmm. He would stop by the television stations on Saturday night after the football games, and I was a runt kid hanging out with my dad at the TV show, and Coach Williams would come by, pick up the tapes, yep. Like the inch tape, and he would take the tapes to Greensboro and Asheville on Saturday night late so they could air on those television stations on Sunday morning, right?
It's so funny because we had to do that with the Danny Ford show mm-hmm. in the late 80s. There were times that edit problems or whatever.
Right.
Hey, distribution issues. Hey, here's a tape. Get in your car and go. And you make some road trips to Charleston, Columbia, Greenville, Spartanburg. And it's funny how far we've come from a television perspective, right?
It's crazy. But I've always respected his journey. Yeah. Absolutely. And the fact that he took the Kansas job when most of America thought it wasn't a great job and, you know, they were going to be on probation and other things he inherited. And even though he never won the national title there, I always thought he just did a marvelous job understanding what KU was about and embracing that tradition and history. And then I still believe that the return to Chapel Hill was not an easy one. I still think that was because he had endeared himself to the people in Lawrence. And
that's a great basketball town. Woo. I'm telling you, for folks who've never been out there, the venue is ridiculously awesome, and they love their hoops. They respect it. They know good from bad.
Yep.
There's pockets around the country that fall into that category. Obviously, yeah. Chapel Hill, Durham, needless mm-hmm. to say, NC State, the folks know it, even though they haven't had the success they want to have. But there are pockets around this country that people just get it. They get it.
Yep. Three games on the docket today, by the way, as we go to break. Georgia Tech is at Florida State at noon on ESPNU. And then our doubleheader starts at 4 o'clock, Little John Coliseum. Miami visits Clemson. Steve Schlanger, Dan Bonner will be at Tiger Town for the Tigers and Canes. Got to be careful of Cam McGusty now in Miami. He's off to a hot start.
Nobody's talking about Miami.
Yep. And then 6 o'clock tonight.
There we go.
Presented by GEICO, Boston College at 2-0 in the ACC with wins over Wake Forest. And at Notre Dame meets number 2 Duke. Trey Jones back in the lineup for Coach K. Jordan Cornette will join me at 6 from Cameron Indoor Stadium right here on ACC Network and always on the ESPN app. Speaking of competition, when we come back, Drew Brooks offers his top frisbee catching dogs of 2019. Yes, that's right. I just put it right on you, Brooksy. Stay tuned. Packer and Durham, hour one on New Year's Eve on ACC Network.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Guys on SiriusXM Channel 371 as well. Hounds are being fed. Now they're quiet. But speaking of dogs, West Durham, we have our frisbee catching dogs of the year.
Regular season.
According to Drew Brooks. We emphasize according to Drew Brooks.
Yeah,
it's basically the Blue Ribbon Committee today. Not sure that we would have had these as the final four, just saying, but we'll let the Lumberjacks have control on this.
All right, so here are the four top frisbee-catching dogs from the regular season. Let's roll it. Number one, it comes in week 9 against Duke, and it's Daz Newsome. Oof. How about that?
That's a great one, man. That would have made our list. If we'd done this separately,
yeah, this would have been one of the four. This would have been on the list, yeah. Right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's still just remarkable when you see that one, isn't it?
You're seriously. Thinking, why are you guys going to run anymore? I mean, nothing can be better than that one. We'll see.
Frisbee catching dog number two from the regular season. Week one against South Carolina.
Finally. Finally. I've been demanding this since week one.
Dyami Brown.
Oh, my God. He got absolutely hosed in the voting in week one. I couldn't believe this wasn't one of the top four. And now we get to the end of the year, and it makes the cut. Wes, how does that work?
Again, Blue Ribbon panel.
I'm glad it's on there because right. It should have been on there in week one.
Yeah. Like that?
I do like that.
All right.
A lot.
Number three, Kendall Hinton of Wake Forest, week eight against Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is on the list.
I was going to say, this one you need to see from a couple different angles because it was ridiculous.
Yep. This guy had a remarkable year.
Sure did.
Did a great job for Dave Clawson. I mean, gosh, Sam Hartman put it on him now. Look at Odell Higgins just looking at the sky. All right, last one. Week eight against Louisville. Looked like Trevor Lawrence was throwing this out of the back of the end zone.
He was.
And then all of a sudden, I tell you what, here's the pressure. I'm just going to cash this one out right here. Oh, at the crossbar?
That was crazy.
Justin Ross. Look at that. It's going out of the back of the end zone. This is what last night I thought of when I saw Dubois' catch.
Oh, Dubois' was this catch right here. Was so good last night.
Look, I mean, seriously? That.
All right.
By the way, Dubois got 2 feet down, by the way.
He did.
Yeah.
All right, so those are the four.
Are we online for this, by the way, guys? Just to double check here with the show. Are we online? At ACC Network, you can vote for the Frisbee Catching Dog of the Year, by the way. Regular season pack.
Right. I think we already had some postseason ones that have been spectacular, including Dubois last night from the Virginia game.
Yeah, we already have a leader, clubhouse leader, I think, in Assis Dubois, don't we?
Well, you know, we threw out a couple that happened over the weekend.
Right.
North Carolina, again, Daz Newsome made a couple of great catches.
Yeah.
The Military Bowl.
Are you voting Dyami Brown on this, by the way?
No, I'm not. I'm glad he made the four because I thought he got, like I told you.
By the way, you can go to @ACC Network. The poll will be up shortly. You can vote all day for the regular season champ of Frisbee Catching Dog.
I will be curious to see what our viewers / listeners will vote on that. At the end of the day, I will be curious to see who wins that.
Yeah. It is now up.
Okay. Frisbee Catching Dogs.
I'm going to vote.
Go for it. Hey, if you got the time, I know you're busy. Getting to Durham. Packing and all.
12 hours on the pole, by the way. What are you doing? Killing me on this stuff. All right.
You good?
I am good. All you're right. Killing me on this.
I'm not killing you. Just, you know.
Ian Fitzsimmons, by the way, coming on top of the
hour. Anybody that drives by Lexington on their way to a game, I just don't know how you don't stop. Don't know how you do it.
It'll be hard, but we'll
make. By the way, BC keeps that interesting tonight or not?
Boston College played – Nick Popovich, by the way, will not play tonight.
Which is a problem.
And, by the way, there is no timetable for his return. They have played very well in the last four games without him, which is interesting. Stephon Mitchell's kind of become a point center for them. And they played great at Cal. I mean, really well. I'm excited to see Jay Heath. I'm excited to kind of see C.J. Felder, some of these young guys they've got. In addition to Stephon Mitchell and, you know.
I will be intrigued to see how Duke shoots from beyond the arc.
That's the question tonight.
They were terrible against Brown after being red hot. Mm-hmm. Looked like they kind of turned the corner a little bit and they just kind of hit the wall.
I tell you what I'm excited to see tonight. This right here.
Well, Vern's going to do folks. His thing. But Duke, you know, they've done a nice job. Other guys stepping up, making plays. Yeah, I get that. You know, anybody can make a dunk, Wes. I want to see them make a shot from 18, 20 feet when all of a sudden you got to go bury it. They've got athletes to do all of that stuff.
Yeah. Wendell Moore,
by the
way.
When Duke starts shooting the basketball, they are a tough out.
Yeah. Wendell Moore started playing well for them, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Kid from Charlotte.
We'll see. I'll be watching tonight.
Yeah, I know. You're excited about it, right?
The other game's Miami-Clemson.
Miami-Clemson, to me, here's the thing.
Clemson's got to start showing some signs of life, don't they?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is Clemson's not scoring the ball very well.
At all.
And I'm a little, to be honest with you, when I look at some of these Tiger numbers, and I was doing some of this last night, Clemson has not shot over 46% now in, they shot 46% in the loss at Minnesota. Their best day shooting the ball came in early November against Colgate and Detroit Mercy, and then they shot 53% against Alabama and A&M. Since then, Clemson's gone games of 36, 41, 46. Their last four games, Pac, 36 in the loss to Florida State, 28% from the floor against South Carolina, 44 when they beat Jacksonville, and 32 in the loss to Yale. I don't know if it's ratio. They've been out-rebounded in five of their last six games. I don't know. I'm surprised. I really am. I thought
they better stop the bleeding soon, as I'm just telling you, because you know there's going to start being we're going to start seeing separation here in about the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the top necessarily. I'm talking at the bottom. Teams getting off to lousy starts. They've gotten off to a lousy start.
Well,
and if you're Miami, they're one of the few teams, I think, in this league, nobody's talking about them. You know, they went on the road to Big Ten Challenge. They knocked off Illinois, right? And they're one of those teams in the middle cluster, I think, of the ACC that some teams are going to emerge to be better than advertised. I think Pitt's going to be one of those teams. Miami could be one of those teams that nobody is talking
about. Well, I'm giving you the shooting numbers on Clemson to then turn and give you Miami's last four games where they've averaged 10 threes a game in their last four, and they're 50 or above from the floor in each of those four.
And if you can score in today's college basketball game, you're in business. So this seems to be one of those years where making shots and being able to score the basketball is a real problem. And I'm talking about blue bloods and teams that are just okay.
Yeah, and that's why I'm looking at like teams like NC State. We start talking about Miami.
Right.
By the way, Virginia Tech can score it.
And they get Virginia this week.
Yeah. All of a sudden, that is very interesting.
There's no question about it. There is, and we're going to start getting into the deep end of the pool beginning tonight, to be honest with you.
Thursday and Friday, we'll spend a good bit of time on we're off tomorrow. Happy New Year. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll spend time on the heavy schedule. There are seven ACC games on Saturday, by the way. In fact, two of them will be here on ACC Network, and then three others across other ESPN platforms.
Before we go to break, let me get a quick call in here. 844-SAY-ACCN. Steve in Virginia has been holding patiently. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Question for you. I'm a Tech fan. We got Kentucky today, and Foster's biggest struggles over the years has been with a running quarterback. I just wonder what you guys thought about it. And also, UVA is did pretty well this year, but wonder how they're going to do without Perkins. That's going to be the big question for them.
You're right, and you're right on both parts about this. And today, you know, we just talked about tackling, Wes.
Lynn Bowden, you got to tackle.
If you don't ask Louisville, they decided not to tackle him, and that was a problem.
Right.
And he is athletic, and he can scoot, and he is going to be a dude that is going to put pressure on your defense. And for Bud Foster, a tip of the hat, right? This is the last time we're going to see him on the sideline coming out with a great game plan, hopefully, for the Hokies. Mm-hmm. He has been great for the Hokies. He's been great for the ACC. He has been great for college football, and we wish him the very best, not only here at the Belk Bowl, but even moving forward. He has just been a tremendous asset for college football.
Yep. Be interesting ball game today in Uptown Charlotte now.
An important one, too. Anytime you get this ACC-SEC thing going on in these kind of games, these count, man.
Yep, absolutely. When we come back, we'll go live to South Florida. Ian Fitzsimmons was at the Capital One Orange Bowl last night for Virginia and Florida for ESPN Radio. Co-host of Freddie and Fitzsimmons will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Wahoos and maybe even a sneak peek to, what, a couple Mondays from now? Why not? Stay tuned. Hour 2, Packer and Durham coming up next on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371, and the ESPN app.